Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, May 12th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. Chronic wasting disease has been detected on the National Elk Refuge for the first time. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Wyoming Game and Fish announced the news yesterday. Teddy Collins with the Greater Yellowstone Coalition says it was not a matter of if, but when.
I'm not that emotional because I knew this day was coming.
In recent years, the always fatal, highly contagious neurological disease has rapidly encroached on Wyoming's largest feed ground. Collins says it remains to be seen how quickly it will spread and kill elk.
We cannot keep operating in the status quo when the science clearly states that feeding operations, whether it's state-run feed grounds or the National Elk Refuge, these feeding efforts will have negative impacts on Wyoming's elk herds.
In a press release, state and federal authorities said refuge staff will increase monitoring, reevaluate some existing programs, and put in more biosecurity protocols to keep people and wildlife safe. In past years, the state has announced steps to reduce elk's reliance on feed grounds so elk don't unnaturally crowd during winter. The Trump administration is ending the policy that cleared the way for conservation efforts on public lands, reversing a Biden administration rule from 2024. In a notice in the Federal Register, the Trump administration said Monday that it will rescind the Conservation and Landscape Health Rule. In its final decision to revoke the rule, the Interior Department said it, quote, inappropriately elevated conservation. Several environmental groups have criticized the move, saying it flouts the BLM's legal mandate and the wishes of the American people. Several Republicans praised the reversal, including Governor Mark Gordon of Wyoming, who said the rescission represented a return to the, quote, principle of true multiple use of public lands. In a narrow 46-45 vote, the U.S. Senate on Monday confirmed former New Mexico Congressman Stephen Pierce as the head of the Bureau of Land Management. The vote came on the heels of a BLM announcement that it had rejected the public lands rule adopted by the Biden administration that held that conservation was a reasonable use of public lands. Pierce, who represented New Mexico in the U.S. House from 2001 to 2009 and from 2011 to 2019, has been a vocal supporter of mining, logging, and energy development on public lands, industries that actively supported his nomination. Environmental groups pointed to his past support of efforts to reduce the size of national monuments and efforts to sell public lands as reasons for their opposition. During hearings this spring, Pierce indicated he would not favor public land sales as head of the agency. Water projections for the Colorado River Basin this summer are getting worse. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Scott Franz has more on the latest federal forecast released last week.
Lake Powell, the Upper Basin's biggest reservoir, is now on track to get just 13% of its normal water supply this summer. That would be a record low. Cody Mosier is a hydrologist for the Colorado Basin River Forecast Center. He says the lack of snowpack and higher than normal temperatures are continuing to drop the forecast.
We did see a cool down and a wetter April, but it pales in comparison to this 5-6 month stretch of just record warm and dry weather that we've seen.
Mosier says the Yampa River in northwest Colorado is on track to deliver less than a third of its normal water supply into the basin. Federal water forecasters will talk next week about what the latest outlook means for rafting and other summer recreation.
That was Scott Franz reporting for the Mountain West News Bureau. A recent Trump administration order aimed at national parks to make America beautiful again has reignited a decades-long discussion on whether Grand Teton National Park should build a controversial pathway. KHOL's Jenna McMurtry reports.
The debate had been put to rest in 2016. Back then, a park study determines a bike path along the Moose Wilson Road would impact surrounding wetlands, wildlife corridors, and a culturally significant site. But the 2025 federal order intends to revisit the topic. The park first proposed moving the frequently congested road away from the wetlands. But others say a pathway connecting Teton Village to the park will make the popular cycling route safer. Sam Petrie with Friends of Pathways says bikes might have less of an impact than cars already do.
Conversation focused only on pathway impacts ignores the impacts already created by vehicle infrastructure. So doing nothing is not a no-impact option. It's an impacted area.
He says the fight pits conservationists and pathways advocates against each other, but he believes they share common goals. I'm Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
There's a new voluntary water conservation program in the state. Applications are open to water rights holders in Wyoming's portion of the Colorado River Basin, which includes the Green and Little Snake Rivers and their tributaries. They can opt into the program and cut water usage. The goal is to avoid mandatory cuts. Interested parties can get more information at public meetings in Pinedale, Lyman, and Bags later in June. And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. The Burlington Huskies have broken a couple school records in track and field. The Basin Republican wrestler reports freshman Kelly McNiven broke the mile record a couple weeks ago. Then, at the Rocky Mountain Invite, she smashed the 2 mile, outperforming the previous school best by 10 seconds. Tridgen Agard, Chase Bassett, Paul McNiven, and Kellen Winters beat the 2023 record in the sprint medley relay by 1 second. University of Wyoming track and field athletes also took on the fastest times in their events. Freshman Jackson Adelot broke the 49-year-old 400-meter outdoor school record, and Adelot, Ryan Elson, Bridger Norton, and Carter McComb finished under the previous meet record in the 4x100-meter relay. The Kemmer Gazette has been spruced up to celebrate its unexpected closure, purchase, and reopening. Office manager Sherry Paulson decided the office needed a facelift after the ordeal and painted the walls green. Then, local artist Sabrina Corbridge volunteered to add a mural. Now the wall is graced with a lone cowboy riding in a western landscape. And according to Westgate Events, Chase Elliott is Wyoming's favorite NASCAR driver. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What is the largest manufacturing company in Wyoming? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, who first summited Wyoming's tallest mountain, Gannett Peak? Arthur Tate and Floyd Stalnick, members of the U.S. Geological Survey team, reached the summit of the 13,804-foot mountain on August 29, 1922. Congratulations to Joe Ryan, who was the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy today's beautiful weather, and join me again tomorrow.